Welcome to Grittles. This week, the art of self-development, part one. The questions this cast answers are, how can I get more training? How do I know what to ask for training on? And how do I practice what I'm learning?
Spring ahead this season with our training made accessible for you. While nothing rivals in-person training for increasing your skills, our video alternatives unlock that same potential without those same barriers. Video meets you wherever you are in the world, allowing you to bloom exactly where you're planted. The Effective Communicator provides communication strategies applicable across cultures. Even if you feel cultural nuances present unique communication challenges, the behavioral insights shared will offer effective techniques to improve understanding. Look for the Video Effective Communicator course under our products menu on the Manager Tools website, manager-tools.com, and start flourishing this spring.
I think most people know this, but they probably would have to think about it. I think it's not the first thing they think of. If we say the word training, most people think their first instinct is to think of going to a classroom or going to a Zoom room now and having an instructor and being instructed in something, that there's someone standing up at the front and they have knowledge and they are imparting that knowledge to a group or a group of people, whether that's two or three or 50, that's what training is. But that's not really what training is once we've passed college or passed our professional certifications, depending on what our profession is. For some professions, there are things that we have to do and have to keep up later. But for the vast majority of us, and even in those roles, the vast majority of training is on the job, from the job, from the work that we do every day. That's how we develop our skills. And thinking that we need more formal training is a mistake, and it often leads us to miss opportunities to develop our skills. Often if you ask someone, how are you going to get better at that? They say, I need to go to training. And the answer is, no, you don't need another certificate. You don't need to go to training. You just need to find opportunities to get better at that skill, to practice it. And that's what we're going to talk to today.
So we're going to cover, first, identifying skill gaps, then scoping small assessments, followed by volunteering strategically, then use your eyes and ears, then lastly, keep notes for your career management document.
So identifying skill gaps, the initial part of this is really easy. What we need to do is find out where you would need training or skill development. And the most obvious place to look is your last performance review or any other performance documentation you have. And whether you agree with the analysis or not, and I think Amanda and I, along with the rest of the entire population, have been in the position where there are reviews we've agreed with and reviews we have not agreed with. But
absolutely,
the organization has told us, what they think we are lacking in via that performance review, whether we agree with it or not. They're saying, your skills do not match the skills that we expect in this role. So that is the start of our list of things that we want to improve in. And you don't need to worry yet about how you're going to improve these skills or what training you need. We're just going to start by making a list of those skill gaps that we think we have. And the performance review or any other performance documentation is the first place to look.
So once you have the list, you're going to want to review all the conversations that you've had with your boss, your mentor, or anyone else about what you need to do to be able to move up or to move across to the role or the responsibilities that you want next. You're going to want to consider the job descriptions for those roles and those responsibilities. And the people that you know in those roles will also have that information for you. All of these can give you ideas for the gaps that you have in your skills and the ones that you need to fill moving forward for any of those roles or those responsibilities that you want.
And of course, it's quite possible that you're entirely happy in the job that you have right now and you don't see moving. And in which case, think about what you would like to get better at in this job. What particular aspect of it maybe you want to get better at some particular technical aspect, or you want to get better with, you know, your sales numbers, or you want to get better at presenting in meetings, or you want to get better at making connections in different departments, whatever it is, there's always something to improve. So even if you don't want to move up, if maybe you've just got this job and you're like, aren't I supposed to stay in a job for 2 years? Yes. So you don't have to be moving, but there's always something to put on your list.
And once you have the list, you want to break each skill down into the elements that you can learn or improve on in less than 12 weeks. So we're not talking about huge changes, just those small, more incremental changes. This will help make sure that you're looking at the specific skills that you can improve on and the kind of on-the-job training that we're thinking about here. So again, it's not huge, giant leaps in your skills. It's those small steps to help you grow.
So for example, if you have project management on your list, it is a big ask to take on a project and improve your skills in project management as a whole, alongside your day job force as, say, a QA tester. On the other hand, over a year, if you break it down into improving task descriptions, time estimation, on-time delivery, and task status communications as 4 12-week topics, your project management skills as a whole would improve. And those are four things which it's much easier to find smaller tasks or smaller assignments where you could improve those skills. It's much easier to find those opportunities. It's easier to fit them in alongside what you're already doing. And it's easier to convince people to let you do it. And it's easier on your work-life balance. And you still improve in the area that you want to improve in.
Yeah, so improving those small steps at a time. And, you know, in fact, you might need less than 12 weeks for each topic. But when you're doing that initial planning, do not choose 12 topics, thinking you will take only a month to improve each. It's far better to choose only four and find yourself choosing four more at the end of 4 months than to be disappointed that you only got through a third of your list at the end of 12 months. So it gives you some flexibility, some agility, because things come up. Again, this isn't instead of your job, this is on top of your job. So you want to give yourself some grace of learning the smaller things that's easier. And then when you get through it, add something else instead of trying to take off a big chunk all at once.
So once you've identified the skills you want to learn or develop, what we're going to do is scope out small assignments. And that's finding small assignments, small tasks that the team needs done that address those skills gaps that you've got on your list. So when you're teaching adults, you have to have a reason for them to learn something, and then a way for them to learn by experience, including a way for them to make errors so that they can correct themselves. There's something about when we grow up, we have to be able to try something and be able to fail at it in order to learn things. I'm thinking about cooking. I don't know why. But as an adult, you want to try and make the thing. And when it comes out badly, you're like, okay, I tried. Now I know what to do differently next time. Probably if you were teaching a child to cook, you would stand over them and make sure they did it right so that the thing came out well, because you want to boost their self-esteem, I think. For adults, there has to be a reason for doing it, and they have to be able to do it themselves. So when you are trying to learn your skills, you have to have a reason for doing it. Like if you're learning, what did we say in project management? Task descriptions. You want to get better at task descriptions. The answer is not to have homework and to go home and write down task descriptions on a piece of paper like you did at school. You know, it's not the Bart Simpson thing where he writes on the board and he writes lines. That's not helping you learn, because there isn't a reason for you doing that. But if you find an opportunity to do that at work based on there's a project and the task descriptions need writing, that's a much better way for you to learn, because there's a reason for you doing it and there's a possibility you'll fail. But it's not a big failure. Probably someone's going to read them afterwards and say, this isn't right, or this isn't helpful. And then you're going to learn, oh, I should have reworded that one. And the next time you're going to be better at it. So you have to have a reason for doing something. It can't be a made-up task just so that you're learning it.
Yeah, I agree. And when you're thinking about these activities, you're not looking for a high-profile activity that you're going to get a ton of kudos and praise when you do them successfully. If you're learning and improving, remember there's a good chance that you're not going to be successful. So high profile is dangerous. We want some risk, but not a huge risk. Kind of with like the cooking analogy, right? Find something that you probably can do, but if you fail, it's not going to burn your house down, right? Instead of using like that deep fry oil that could potentially explode when you put a frozen turkey in it. You tried that recipe. It sounds dangerous.
In not very long at all, we'll officially enter the second quarter of 2024. And that means we'll be booking summer and fall client training events. Don't miss out. If you're considering training during the summer and fall of this year, it's time to reach out to us and get us on your calendar. It costs you nothing, and we guarantee we can deliver your training. Whether it's virtual or on-site, we'll go to great lengths to ensure we can support your organization with our stellar training delivery and customer service support. Plan ahead and start your discussions now. Send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn how we can help you more.
So let's give you some examples just to solidify this in everybody's, everybody who's listening. We'll give you some examples to make some pictures in your head. So let's say you want to improve your data analysis skills. You could take on a project involving data entry and basic report generation, or you could volunteer to analyze a small data set and present findings. And those could be projects which are normally in your team, and they just happen to have those extra components. It's not like, oh, there's a project that came across our, that's come to our team that's full on data entry and report generation. It could be something that your team normally does, and your boss just says, you know, I wonder if somebody could just look at those, the numbers for that thing. Or you have some kind of standardized reporting and you all want to look at the numbers you normally get in a different way. And so it's a small piece of data reporting or a small piece of data analysis, not a whole project. It's a sort of adjunct piece to another thing that you would normally be doing.
Yeah. If you're considering technical writing skills, you can offer to create documentation for a recently introduced process or assist in updating the team's frequently asked questions or knowledge base with recent changes. So by first creating the first draft of a series of documents, we'll show how you're improving. If you're getting closer to the way that the final draft should be written, your first drafts should need less and less editing. So the more practice you get, the easier that first draft is compared to your last draft, right? Because they should be pretty close. Your first one is probably going to be way off, but giving yourself different activities where you have the opportunity to write those types of documents can be very helpful.
Okay, let's do project management skills. So you could coordinate an internal team event or a department meeting, or you could manage the schedule or logistics for an upcoming team event. And we made more suggestions earlier to break down project management skills, but the alternative here is to choose a very small project, like coordinating a meeting and managing it from start to finish. To some extent, with all of these options, it depends on the skill you're trying to learn and develop and the opportunities within your team. So if you're a team that's running huge projects, then maybe it's easy to do small parts of it. If you are a team that doesn't do projects, maybe it's easier to volunteer to do the quarterly meeting from start to finish or help mm-hmm. with it. It really does depend on what opportunities are available and how they might fit in to what you are ordinarily doing.
Yeah. Let's talk about public speaking skills. You can lead a portion of the weekly team stand-up meeting or present a summary of team achievements at a departmental meeting. Now, coming from someone that does public speaking quite often, it's something that most people are terrified of, right? Even those small introductions at the beginning of our conferences, not a lot of people love to do that for those 30 seconds. So I have all the feelings for you guys. So you want to start small. Start in a team meeting where you're familiar with the audience and you are both familiar with the material and the people. It does make things a lot easier when you're giving those presentations. So start small. Don't run a presentation that you don't know anybody and you're not familiar with it as your first go around, right? Take those stand-up meetings that you've sat in a bunch of times. And coming from someone that has the material memorized, it's so much easier to present in a group when you know the material versus when you don't. It's a lot harder. So consider those.
If you want to improve your design skills, you could design a flyer or an internal communications for an upcoming team event, or you could offer to create visuals or infographics for a team presentation. And in teams where design isn't a priority, design is often a task that no one wants to do. And it's often a task where no one knows what they want until they see something on paper, and then it's not that. Right? When the paper's blank, everyone's like, I don't know. I have no idea. And then as soon as they see something, they're like, oh, no, it wasn't that. It should be this or that or the other. It's funny. And so if you volunteer to say, I'll do the first draft, you will probably have no competition because nobody else wants to do it. And you probably have to have quite thick skin in knowing that the first draft is going to be shot down, because in getting something on paper, the answer is going to be, yeah, that's not what we wanted. You have to get past that point. And being the person who gets the team past that point is a really valuable person to have on the team. And there's at least one area on any team that is like this. If it's not design, there's something else where nobody wants to do the thing. Nobody wants to be the first, be the person who says, all right, I'll do the first one and like be willing to be shut down. There's always one thing. And if you're willing to do it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, just go in knowing that you're going to have to make changes, and it changes your whole perspective. Now, leadership skills. You can mentor a new team member or an intern, or lead a small task force to address specific operational challenges. So leading a team might only mean a team of you and one other person, but that doesn't mean you can't do it properly with one-on-ones. In 12 weeks, you won't get to feedback, but building trust is something you can get better at just like any other skill. And taking the opportunity to do this with interns, or in my previous work, I had a lot of students, and you only have them for 3 months. So you have to build that relationship. You don't get much farther than that, but it gets easier every time that you do it. Also, if you intern or mentor when folks move up or move on and you have a relationship with them, that helps your network.
Yes.
So it's, you learn leadership skills, but you also have another way to grow your network, because it's sometimes not what you know, it's who you know, right?
Yeah.
And it's all about relationships. Weird.
Oh,
we're circling back to that, Wendy.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes in and we finally got to relationships. Ow.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Financial acumen. So you could help with budget tracking for a small project, or you could assist in creating financial summaries for team expenses. And this is another thing where if it's not a priority for the team, no one wants to do it. You know, if you're not in an accounting team, nobody wants to do expenses or math of any kind. And your team will probably be very happy for you to take that on.
Yeah, one of my favorite sayings is, I don't math.
Yes.
Why I married an engineer.
So for this week, we'll continue the topic next week. Bye, everyone.